Thank you, Jean. It's really great to be here and to read with Rena, whose work I've known as a translator for many, many, many years, Phil to come, and Paola, whose work I'm just getting to know. You know, I've been here in Pittsburgh about 8 years, and I thought I knew the city, but just recently I started walking. I bought a pedometer, and I started walking everywhere, and I thought, I don't know this city at all. It's amazing how different it is when you walk. And I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know about this event that during the summer. So some of you who read, and I've not come to your readings here, because I didn't know about it. My name somehow wasn't on the list. But anyway, I'm just going to read a few poems from a new manuscript that I'm shopping around. It's called Pretty Words Like Blades, and it comes partly out of some meditations on tarot cards. I really love tarot cards for just kind of meditating and the insight that they give you into your life. So I just randomly started playing around with them, and I kept picking a sword, and the sword is discord and violence and unhappiness and all that, which suits me just really fine. So you'll see a little bit of a theme here. This first one is called Two of Swords. She gets to show how smart she is. She publishes books with one hand, mothers with another, writes with hands we can't see. She does it blindfolded. Women can do anything. Women run with the wolves. She throws the swords up in the air, does a little jig as she tries to catch them. Suite of Swords. My son, the little sword, is trying to sleep, but he's tossing and turning, cutting himself and me when I try to help. We've had another difficult day. Nothing is as either of us had hoped. Every day I wake up, he says, and promise myself I'll be good. I really want to, Mommy, but something always happens. He falls into a fit of sobs, choking. I stroke him to sleep, singing some song about summertime. I know only too well that will is not enough for change, that knowing is not doing, but I am a sword and have little else to offer. This is called Branding Time. 1. My mother is heating oil in a big skillet to fry potatoes for supper. She disappears into the backyard for too long and forgets about the oil, which catches on fire. I can smell the smoke from the couch in the living room where I'm reading a Nancy Drew or Terry Ames book, dreaming about what it would be like to be a detective or a nurse. It's summer. It's hot outside. I bolt through the smoke out the back door of the kitchen to find my mother. Fire in the kitchen, I yell, and follow as she runs into the smoke, which is now pouring out of the kitchen like every bad dream you've ever had. At 8, I'm the oldest and want to help, so I stay with her. She picks up the flaming skillet and turns, intending to bring it outside, but I'm there in her way. Get down, she shrieks, and I do. I get down on my hands and knees as she passes the skillet of flames over me, moving quickly to the back door. She didn't mean for it to happen, for the oil to slosh out of the pan where it rains lava-like onto my arms, searing and scorching, etching itself into my flesh so deeply that even today, 40 years later, you can still see the splatter pattern of it marked in white scars on my arms, where you can map the drops, mostly tear-shaped, except for the big one shaped like a crescent moon, the one that took forever to heal. I don't remember what happened next, what she did with the oil or fire or how she treated my wounds or even if she apologized. 2. I don't pay much attention anymore to the scars, but it's summer in southern France. The sun is intense, and today the scars on my arm light up like beacons. I think of the history with my mother, the one we both try to pretend doesn't exist. I know she wasn't herself, crazed with a grief I could hardly understand then. She always meant to love, not to hurt, I tell myself. But then the scars light up again, the ones I can see, pointing to the ones I can't, reminding me that mothers must always mark us so we never forget who begat whom. Four of Swords. We should take care, Einstein said, not to make the intellect our god. And this is why the woman lies on the cold stone floors of the church, staring at the stained glass windows. She is trying to conjure up a god she could believe in, but when she closes her eyes, all she feels is the edge of her spine, resting for now, as much as swords can rest. Hepatitis C. I'm worried about my lawn and gardens, which I've left for 3 weeks to the care of a neighbor's young boy, not yet 12. I send him a note telling him to watch for the crabgrass. Don't let it go to seed, I warn, but realize afterwards he probably doesn't even know what crabgrass is. I'd been pulling it out diligently for a month, daily, while it was still young, before the roots got too deep and tough in the garden or the lawn where it seems to come up everywhere, overnight, growing twice as fast as the grass I want, its lighter green leaves announcing it like an enemy flag. There's a drought in the Midwest now, and I fear my good grass will die, and all that will be left is crabgrass, which seems to need almost nothing to live and prosper, certainly not one's permission. It's insidious. You don't even know the seeds are there, lying in wait. It's like the way the doctor explained hepatitis C. It gets in your blood and stays quiet for a long time, multiplying and burying itself deeper and deeper into the liver until, like a place uncared for, just one short season, all hell breaks loose. Needles. I'm trying hard to recognize the different trees on this stranger coast. This was for a trip that I took to the West Coast. Spruces, firs, pines, but it comes down to needles, really. Their color and shape, how they're bundled, even how they smell. Blue spruce needles are blue-green, sometimes silver, sharp-pointed at the tip, four-sided. When crushed, they smell intoxicating, like a rich, piney wine. White spruces are also blue-green, but with whitish lines. They're sharp-pointed, too, but when crushed, smell shitty, like skunk. Douglas firs are dark yellow or blue-green, flat and flexible with rounded tips. Western white and sugar pine come in bundles of five. Lodgepole pine in bundles of two. The needles stout, sometimes twisted. I look at the trees over and over, touching and smelling, trying to memorize their shapes and colors, but the truth is, the only needles I recognize are my own, which come in bundles of six. They're silver and round, except at the ends, which are flatter and sharp-pointed. They're always attached to the end of a plastic 1 milliliter syringe. Never twisted, they are hard to crush. They smell like hospitals, and when I enter my veins with one, I close my eyes and think of spruce or fir or pine. I'm injecting a resinous sap. It smells like Christmas. The injection is a prayer. So, thank you. I do have hepatitis C, and one of the treatments of hepatitis C is interferon ribavirin that you have to inject into you. So that those poems sort of came out of that experience. So I had a boyfriend who hated the color red, and we live in this, which is my favorite color, and so it was very, very difficult relationship for lots and lots of reasons, but that was one of the reasons. So. I wrote this poem after we broke up. Red. Cowboy boots, scarlet suede, still in the box, smelling like sex. Pomegranates, the seeds plumped open, their dark juice seeping into the butcher block. Whole cherries and preserves full in your mouth, a thick spoonful of sweetness. Fat raspberries, autumn apples, a rich Cabernet or spicy Shiraz, sun-warm tomatoes from your garden, late summer. Thick steaks, rare and soft, their juices speaking tongues in your mouth. Your flannel nightshirt, tartan frayed and forgiving, the color that couldn't be in your house when you lived with him, the dresses hidden in the closet, slow burning like coals from a good fire, color of the sofa you bought when you broke up, salmon when they are dying, maple leaves when they are dying, your favorite color before you knew any better, first color you sang, color announcing your birth into the world. I think I'm going to stop there. Thanks.